So I'd like to begin by asking everybody to stand up. We'll do kirtan. One of the themes I wanted to talk about, this is something I heard from Vaishnava Swami, was it said that when we chant japa, it purifies our heart, and when we do kirtan, it purifies our relationships. Something to think about. So let's chant together and meditate on that. You can move around a little bit. The Panchatava, the more they chanted and danced, the more they caused the love, rains of love of God.
If you like, please move up and
see the deities.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Chanting, Hare Krishna. So we're supposed to speak about connecting japa and kirtan. So Are we, everybody good? Okay. Got a little more. Is that okay? So, where to start? I'm kind of dividing this into two themes. One is the importance for sadhana, importance of our way of life, our association, our hearing chanting, our reading of Prabhupada's books, how we chant japa, to how we do kirtan. That's one thing. That kirtan isn't just something we do and then we don't do anything else. It's part of our way of life. To actually get the fruits. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's the central thing. But we can't actually get the fruits of the kirtan without the sadhana, without the proper association and so on. And then the other theme is that kirtan itself has sadhana, as a means of reaching the goal, Krishna prema, of purifying the heart. So I wanted to begin, I'm reading a little something that Indra Prabhu said about kirtan. It's kind of interesting. He was asked the same question of what's the relationship between japa and kirtan. The first part I'll just relate briefly. He compares japa to Nikunja Seva and kirtan to Rasa Leela. So I'm not qualified to speak on those topics, but something to think about. In other words, the idea that japa is our intimate time with Krishna, and kirtan is Rasa Leela. We have the devotees and we have Krishna also. So this is what I wanted to read. As I mentioned earlier, this idea that our sadhana, our japa, is our personal time with Krishna, our time to develop our personal relationship. Bhaktivinod Thakur makes this point that if we chant, you know, just like we're chanting a mantra or something, but we don't develop this feeling that I'm connected with Krishna, that I'm calling on Krishna's name, that this chanting of japa is my relationship with Krishna. If there's no feeling of relationship in the chanting, then that will just be a shadow, and it won't actually satisfy the soul. Satchinanda Swami speaks about this a lot, and he compares it to eating the shadow of a pizza. So if you come for prasadam and we say our budget's a little tight, but we made this one wonderful pizza, all my dear devotees, so we're going to shine a light on it and you can all enjoy the shadow. So you won't probably be satisfied. So in the same way, the actual substance, the what nourishes us from our, not only from our japa, but everything we do in life, is our connection with Krishna, our feeling connected to Krishna, that we're, you know, of service to Krishna, and that there's our reciprocation. So without this mindset of this is service, or this is meant for Krishna's pleasure, I want to do this for Krishna, then especially japa, that won't satisfy us, and we will remain spiritually hungry and not satisfied in devotional service, but we'll require so many other things to keep us quote unquote satisfied. So there's this relationship which we're building in japa. So I wanted to read this. However, Nam Japa is not simply a matter of only one's personal relationship with Radha and Krishna. We also perform Nam Japa to become inspired to share our devotion to Radha and Krishna with others in the form of Nam Sankirtan. In that way, japa is never a selfish affair. So japa can either be chanted for the satisfaction of Radha and Krishna, or chanted to attain the spiritual experience necessary to have real compassion for others. This is a very nice point, that our chanting of japa, one of the fruits of successful chanting or connecting with Krishna in our chanting, is the development of compassion, that we will feel that we want to share this with others. We'll see graphically in our within us that people are not happy. They're, despite their material success, they're not satisfied, and because they don't have any heart, they don't have any relationship with Krishna. So this proper chanting should inspire this compassion. In either case, the aim is neither selfish or self-aggrandizing. And then he says, by Nam Kirtan, Krishna also sees that you are serious about sacrificing your egocentricity for the purpose of helping others to gain access to the holy name. An attraction thus naturally awakens within Krishna to the soul who is performing that yajna. It induces him to relish deeper with the devotee even more intimate loving reciprocation in the form of non-japa. In that way, Nam Sankirtan and Nam Japa are always inter-supportive. So they go together. We need to develop our personal relationship with Krishna. And in developing that personal relationship, we want to share that with others. We want others to have such a relationship, such an experience. And when we share that, then Krishna becomes very pleased with us. Every devotee who tries to distribute Krishna consciousness has this experience that of Krishna's just raining down the mercy. At some point or other, we have this experience that when you try to share Krishna consciousness with others, it's Krishna's, despite all my infinite disqualifications, because I'm just going out of my comfort zone to try to help someone else in their Krishna consciousness, then Krishna becomes very pleased, and he helps us, and that reciprocation then makes us want to chant more, to experience more of that reciprocation. So this is a nice statement, I think, a realized statement, I would say, of how japa and kirtan, they go hand in hand. I had another example that I thought of. I shared this at this last seminar we did. There was a movie I saw many, many years ago, which I don't recommend anybody see. But the theme of this, it was an interesting theme, though. This movie, there was the two main kind of characters in the play. It was this one woman who was a very beautiful and chaste wife. But her husband was just a complete nonsense. But in public, he would take her out in public and kind of show her off. Oh, this is my beautiful wife. You know, she's so this and that. And, you know, in public, he would say so many nice things. But when they would come home, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. He was just very abusive. And so this was the kind of the whole theme of this movie. Finally, he runs off with some other woman and so on and so forth. So I thought about this, that this is, you know, if we want to do kirtan and, in a sense, share our devotion with others, we have to have some devotion to share. There has to be something there. Otherwise, what is it? Like Prabhupada said, he talked about a certain type of kirtan here is increasing their bowels, or their bile secretion, right? Hare Krishna. So we want to do. We don't want to do kirtan in that way. That it's an external show I know I've had a lot of association with the second generation. I was speaking once with Manu and Jai Radhe. You probably all know them. And their complaint was that all these kids coming up, not everybody, this probably doesn't apply to anyone in the room here, but it's a phenomenon, that kirtan is fun, right? Kirtan is fun. There's cool rhythms and dancing and neat melodies, and it's just a lot of fun. And I'll do kirtan as long as it's fun. If it's not fun, then I'm out of there. We'll go take prasadam. That's also fun. So so that's kind of one of the I guess you could say the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is that even those who actually don't have much attraction for the holy name can take part in kirtan. And hopefully by that, taking part gradually get an actual taste for serving Krishna. But if we want to go, if we want to actually get the benefit from kirtan, then our sadhana is important. Our personal time with Krishna, developing our personal relationship with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada also stressed this, to studying the philosophy, learning the philosophy, reading his books, hearing his classes, or in this way studying. He said that he told Jamuna, I'm sorry I couldn't find the exact quote, but Jamuna Devi, he told her that the key to offenseless chanting was studying his books. Sometimes it's also said that the whole purpose of all of Srila Prabhupada's books, I think he said that, that all of his writing of all of these books was to chant Hare Krishna, was to convince you to chant Hare Krishna. So this shouldn't be taken as somehow or other minimizing reading, oh great, so I don't have to read anymore, I'll just chant. But what it actually points out is that this, how deep chanting is, that we need such intricate knowledge, actually. We need to understand that we're not this body, that we're servants of Krishna. And we need a lot of convincing about this, repeatedly convincing. Just like sometimes it's just this point that Srila Prabhupada makes over and over again, that we're not the body. And sometimes there's criticism that, oh, he's always saying this. But the question is, did we ever get it? One time Srila Prabhupada was walking with some quote-unquote senior disciples, and somebody said, Prabhupada, we've heard this so many times, you know, maybe we could talk something a little more. And Prabhupada stopped and said, you know, just looked at everybody and said, who has understood that they're not that body? And there was dead silence. So it was interesting, this you sent me that article, Bhakti, right? Correct? Well, Bhakti Siddhanta. It's a very elevated article. But there's a significant, it's called Nambajan. And it begins, the article begins with this emphasis on the goal. Like we've been hearing this the goal. And saying yes to Krishna, these things, that we have this chance. Become conscious that when we're chanting, we're approaching Krishna. Become conscious of this. Become conscious that our real goal is to develop our love. There's no other goal. He begins with this, but there's a significant portion of that that's just dedicated to explaining that you're not the body, that you're a spiritual being. Because none of these things can be realized, none of these things can even begin to be understood unless we really have a clear conception of our spiritual nature. The chanting of the holy name isn't actually chanted with the tongue. The tongue doesn't chant the pure holy name, this material tongue. The material ears don't hear the holy name. actually. But it is the soul, and the soul has spiritual senses. And the soul actually in the pure form chants the pure holy name. That is actual chanting. This is explained by our acharyas. So this understanding, Srila Prabhupada also said that it's interesting, if you think about it, Lord, his Gauravani Pracharane, Prabhupada's mission, was to establish the chanting of the Lord's holy name, to spread it all over the world. But he explained once in one of his writings that Lord Chaitanya's mission can be established and understood very nicely on the basis of Bhagavad Gita. And so he spent so much time, in all of his lectures, you hear him quoting from Bhagavad Gita again and again and again. So why didn't he just bring Chaitanya Charitamrita? Why not? But he very solidly, and he explained that this basic philosophy, this basic understanding, is how Lord Chaitanya is the basis for spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission. So I just want to make this point that our whole process, especially hearing our sambandhagyan, our relationship with Krishna, who we are, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm a spiritual being. I'm not this material body. And with my spiritual senses, I'm actually chanting the holy name. So these understandings this is part of our sadhana. This is our sambandhagyan that will allow us to properly chant the holy name. Without these, it's very unlikely. Although it's theoretically possible that someone could take up the chanting and just become pure on the basis of the chanting, but it's extremely unlikely. We see generally just the opposite. We see a lot of people chanting now, and they have so many different conceptions about the chanting. So it's slow. It's very slow. So we should always remember that this philosophy that Srila Prabhupada gave us is our fast track to pure chanting. That's the idea. Now, one other point on this. I thought this was a nice example. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. How many of you know Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj? He's this Russian Maharaj. Sannyasi. He doesn't come to the United States. Intelligent man. Anyway, he's brilliant. If you ever get a chance to hear any of his classes, he's this amazing person. But he gave this wonderful class at the Kirtan Mela in Germany. And he was explaining this idea, because sometimes people ask, you know, what are the tricks to chanting, you know? What are the tricks? And he said there aren't any. There's no tricks. The only trick is that we have to develop our loving feelings for Krishna. If we have loving feelings for Krishna, then we can chant nicely. If not, it'll be a struggle. It'll be a struggle. So how will we develop loving feelings? And I won't go through the whole thing, but it came down to the point of we have to really take a look at our faith. What do we have faith in? It's like a lot of people take up religion, but they take it up with the conception that I will somehow or other have a nice material life as a result of my religious practice. Right? That I will, just like you meet these people on Sankirtan, or we used to meet them. I don't know if you meet them anymore. They would say, if you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? You still meet those stupid people still out there? I haven't been out on the streets for a while, so I don't know. So never mind if God's there. Just let me go to heaven. God may be there or not. Whatever. Let me go to heaven. So So this is, we see that they have faith in their process, that it's going to give them heavenly rewards. Whatever that is, as Maharaj was saying, what is that? We don't know. But it's something good. Or that I'm taking up my spiritual practices and I want a comfortable life. Or at least, this is actually the biggest challenge for those who are on the path of bhakti, is to not desire liberation. Narendra Swami was with us recently, and he kept saying the same phrase. He says, "There's life beyond relief." Think about that. There is life beyond relief. So much of our time in material life, we're waiting, you know, when will my day off come? And I'll just get some relief. I'll get a little break from stress here. But he pointed out that's still the material platform, that I'm looking for, you know, some kind of comfortable situation for myself. Therefore, there won't actually be relief. There won't actually be that belief. So the point I was making is that a big part of our chanting, whether it's japa or kirtan or any service that we do, is this faith that by service I'll become happy. By serving Krishna I'll become happy. This is the definition actually of faith, right? Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. Shada sadha visvaskahi sudrida nischoy Krishna bhakti kaila. What is the faith? That just by serving Krishna, just by Krishna bhakti, I'll become happy. Not that by Krishna bhakti I'll get liberation. Not that by Krishna bhakti I'll get a comfortable situation. Or, you know, life will just work out somehow or other. We should examine what really is my faith. And then if we have that faith, then we'll actually be happy in whatever circumstance. And so just to continue in this class of Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, he said that there was a woman that came to him and she said, you know, I came to this kirtan mela, and, you know, because I'm in a certain situation, so I have to help out in the kitchen some. And I appreciate, you know, I want to serve the devotees. And she said, but there's this one woman that's in the kitchen all day long. She came to the kirtan mela and she's in the kitchen all day long, and she paid her own money to come and be here, and she's just in the kitchen all day long just serving, and she's so happy. So he said, yes, this is the fruit of chanting, that I understand that no matter what I'm doing, if it's actually serving Krishna, then that is my happiness. That will be my happiness. So this is a big part of what Srila Prabhupada tried to convince us of. It's the missing link in all religious, it's there, but it's practically not taught in any religion, that by service you'll become happy. Just by serving God, that is where your happiness lies. It's not taught. So they take up their religion and they want, you know, they still want, you know, material. I remember meeting a woman on Sankirtan many years ago, and I was, you know, collecting donations out in the parking lot or something, passing out books, and she took pity on me and said, "God's not a poor man. You know, you've got the wrong religion. You know, you're begging in the streets. You know, I worship Jesus, and I've got a mobile home. I've got a nice house. I've got a car. God's not a poor man," she kept telling me. So, yeah, we know that. God's got everything, but we don't want that. He can, yeah, I can worship God, and he can give me a mobile home. Wow. And car payments and insurance and all kinds of headaches. Anyway, even that so-called happiness is like, really? But the point is, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, we've understood that that's not a real happiness. A real happiness lies in simply serving. If I can develop that mood of service, then I will be happy. Jeev Krishna Das, Avishvas, Korleto Ardukanai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you just, Jeev Krishna Das, Vishvas, if you just develop this faith that you're a servant of Krishna, then there will be no more suffering. You will always be happy, because we can always serve Krishna. So this is the idea that this life of service, a life of Satchinanda Swami put it in a really nice way. He said that developing the mood of service to the holy name. He said, take yourself out of the center of your life. What a nice thought, isn't it? It's a plague, you know. It's like Prabhupada was talking about the children, you know, me, 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 me. You know, every kid thinks they're Krishna, isn't it? They're just convinced. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody has to tell them. They just know it. And the world revolves around me. But it's the plague of our existence that I'm in the center, you know, at least of my universe. At least, what is it? Every man has his castle, something like that. So at least in my universe, I'm the center. So this service, this is the idea. If we can put Krishna in the center, if we can put Krishna in the center of our chanting, that I'm chanting and there is Krishna, beautiful Radha and Krishna. And they're the object of our attention. They're the object of our affection. They're what our attention goes to. Not to, you know, myself or my body or I want this or I want that. Our attention goes there. So this mood of service, this is so important, that what Srila Prabhupada has given us this understanding, and as the key to our real happiness, and the key to chanting. So if we chant, if we develop in this way, then when we do kirtan, then it's also a different experience. So these are a couple of thoughts on the importance of sadhana, our way of life. Oh, one other point on this, and then I want to see if there's any discussion on this point. Another important part of our sadhana, our way of life, is our relationship with devotees. So this also isn't separate from our chanting of japa. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having an argument with a devotee, or some kind of, you know, you have some kind of feeling in your mind, and then you try to chant japa. Has anybody had that experience? Mind doesn't cooperate, does it? Really hard. So this also, the Sankirtan, we can speak, maybe we'll speak more about that as in Sankirtan. But this is also part of our japas, our relationship with our with other devotees. Primarily the soul, the pure spirit soul, has a relationship with Krishna. And our relationship with others is actually in relationship to Krishna. In other words, we can have a pure relationship with other devotees if we have a pure relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, what is our relationship with another living entity? What is there? You and me, it's just you and me, we have this, we'll be close, and no one else will be involved in this relationship. But that's not possible. We want, in general, people want that, just like we've seen this phenomenon of someone is becoming Krishna conscious, and the spouse of that person is not becoming Krishna conscious, there's a kind of an envy that can take place that, you know, this Krishna is getting in the way of my relationship. Krishna's messing things up here. But that's a mistaken understanding, because actually we have a relationship with Krishna first and foremost. Even when we're chanting kirtan, we have a relationship with Krishna. We have to establish that relationship with Krishna. Kirtan means glorification. It comes from the word krit, which means to glorify. That we go, Jiva Goswami says, we go into the presence of the Lord. We're in His presence and we're glorifying Him. We're glorifying Radha Krishna. They're the center of the show. They're the object of the song. So this is kirtan. So in that relationship with Radha and Krishna, then we have a relationship with each other, because that relationship is based on service. It's based on love. It's based on helping each other come closer to Krishna. Without that, so many different kinds of things may be there, but it can't actually be a real spiritual relationship. Now, this is not just a theoretical philosophy. We have this practical experience that I've had the good fortune of traveling all over the world. Not all over the world, but a lot, especially for our Iowa farm boy. It's not bad. And everywhere I go, I meet the most amazing people. I meet devotees of the Lord that are just phenomenal people. They're, you know, they've given their lives to Krishna. They've sacrificed so much. They have realizations, profound realizations. Everywhere you go, you meet devotees, and they have the same realizations. How is that? So it means it's like, what did Maharaj quoted Prabhupada saying, I've come to teach you what you've forgotten, not come to teach you something new. Devotional service reveals the knowledge that's there in the heart. So we go to Russia, we go to Ukraine, we go to Australia, and we find devotees that have the same realizations, the same feelings. So this is practical. That we have a worldwide society, a worldwide group of people that are very dear friends. Even we haven't even met each other yet, and immediately we're friends. We're very close. I used to comment that the devotees are my real family. My actual material family has not much to do with Krishna. And so, you know, I care for them, but there's not much there. There's not a lot of connection. But I find that I meet devotees, you know, who I have practically nothing in common with from a cultural point of view, practically we can't even speak the same language, but there's this immediate closeness. So I'm just pointing this out to say that this relationship that we're trying to establish with Krishna is a very practical thing that you can see in your life. And conversely, if you see that your relationship with Krishna becomes blocked, if you want to take a few steps back or don't want to have anything to do with Krishna, then immediately you also really don't want to be around devotees. This is our practical experience. Because they're going to remind me about this Krishna fellow. I remember, I've already told this story, but this one girl came up to me and she said, you know, I like you guys. I like you, Hare Krishnas. You're cool. I like your music. But there's one thing that I just don't really like, and that's this Krishna guy. He just seems to think he's better than everyone else. I swear, it's a true story. And I thought, wow. This is really profound. She really hit the nail on the head. There's one person in the universe that we have issues with. It's this Krishna fellow, and he, as a matter of fact, he does happen to be better than everybody else. He's the source of everything. He's the cause of all causes. He's the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, and yep, just happens to be that he's better than everyone else. But he's not puffed up about it. It's just how it is. So anyway, this development of love for Krishna, or even if we can't develop our love towards Krishna right away, if we can try to develop a service attitude, to try to deal with our aversion to Krishna, if we can get a handle on that and make that a focal point of our spiritual practice, then we'll not only progress, this is actually the focal point, the center point of our progressing in spiritual life, but it's the center point of our relationship with devotees also. The Mayavadis, back to this point, they want to have knowledge, or they want to develop detachment, because they can see that my attachment to this material world causes suffering. I wish I could be detached. Many people wish they could be detached. Alcoholics, drug addicts, they wish they could be detached from those desires. They want detachment. But they're not willing to invest, or they don't want to turn towards Krishna. That's the problem. So those things can't, but that's the center, that our relationship or non-relationship, as Prabhupada said, our causeless unwillingness to serve is the central point of our conditioning in this material world. So I know this doesn't seem like I'm talking about japa and kirtan, but it is all related. Because if we can actually take up kirtan in this spirit, then we'll have a nice relationship with Krishna and with Krishna's devotees. So that was a little something about the importance of sadhana and kirtan. I wanted to say a few more things, but I wanted to see if anybody, you all are chanting japa daily and doing kirtan daily. I wanted to see if there's any discussion on any of these points or any inspiration, realization maybe you've had on these things. Sorry. Came up. My son once said, I bet even in the spiritual world there's problems. Because everybody will be like, no, after you. No, no, after you. No, after you. He was about 5 when he made that observation.
I have a lot of questions, but I'll limit it to 2 for now. My first question was, we know we've been speaking, I've heard this hierarchy that it's Nam, Guru, Guna, Viva, in terms of our advancement.
Realization, yeah.
And we've been hearing a lot in this seminar about how we can say yes to Krishna and activating our internal relationship. So, you know, I am not at that level. And there's that hierarchy. So I was wondering if you could place that concept within the hierarchy. That was my first question. And my second question was about reading Krishna book. I feel like when I read Krishna book, when I hear these stories, they're very adventurous. They seem like fun. There isn't really this active component of, oh, I should be a part of that pastime so I can serve Krishna. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could maybe explain about how read Krishna book better enhances your job in Krishna.
Thank you. That's very nice. Yeah, sometimes because these discussions come up of chanting japa consciously, that it's for Krishna's pleasure. And I had a nice talk with Madhava Prabhu. Many of you know Madhava's kirtan. Madhava was, he spent 1 year of his life doing his kirtan slot at Vrindavan, doing the 24-hour kirtan was from 10 at night till 4:30 in the morning. For 1 year, he was doing kirtan like that. Mostly by himself, but sometimes with others. He had three melodies that he knew at that time. And he used to say that I knew I had to sing for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, that clock on the wall was there and it just wouldn't move. So he never, you know, I really appreciate your question because we're not there that, you know, I chant and Krishna's dancing in my mind or something. At least I'm not there. But so I asked him that question, that are we really chanting for Krishna? You know, you're chanting. He said, no, I'm not chanting for Krishna. But I knew that that was the goal. So I think that's an important point. That's my answer to your question. Is that we do have to keep that in mind, that this is a goal, that I'm chanting for Krishna's pleasure. I'm chanting, praying for a relationship, praying for service, praying for purification. In other words, it's active on my part. It's not just Hare Krishna, some sounds, like Prabhupada said, can teach a parrot how to chant, but when the cat comes, he goes, quack, squawk, squawk. So our chanting shouldn't be like that there's no significance. So this, it's not the same as realization. Correct. But neither is it sahajya. Neither are we trying to imagine that, you know, that I'm on some high level and that I'm chanting. Prabhupada condemned that. He said that he talked about this one woman. I don't know who she was, but she wrote a book. Apparently, she talked about that she was, you know, that Krishna was coming and snatching her sari, and you know this kind of thing. You know, sort of sahaja kind of thing. And he said, not like that. Direct relationship is not possible. It is not possible. And he said, and who are we that we can say, you know, like you hear some of these kind of pseudo-devotional songs, oh Krishna, I'm here, come here, you know, come here and dance before me. You hear these kind of, right, these kind of songs, you know, like, who are you? Krishna, come here and dance before me with Radha. Who are you? Who do you think you are? So Prabhupada was really strongly, you know, condemning this kind of sentiment. And he said, on one hand, he said that we shouldn't think, I may take up Krishna consciousness and it may be successful, it may not, it doesn't matter, you know. He didn't, you know, he said, not like that, we should be eager, you know, we should try to develop this eagerness for Krishna. But on the converse side, he said, you know, he was really speaking strongly. He said, you know, who are we that we can demand that Krishna be present? Rather, we should be satisfied that I'm able to chant Krishna's holy name. And in the mood of the six Goswamis, the six Goswamis were, you know, realized souls, manjaris, you know, the most intimate servants of the Lord. And they're not saying, oh, we've seen Krishna, or Krishna's come and snatched my sari, or anything like that. Hey Radhe Vrajadevike Chalavite, Hey Nanda Suna, where are you? Where are you? These were their moods. And Lord Chaitanya himself was always in that mood of separation, feeling, you know, Krishna, where are you? Let's see, I got off the point. Forgot where I was going with that. So he asked this question of...
You were describing that we have to be satisfied with being pleased.
that is the goal, chanting for Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah. So we're not realized souls. We're not exactly on that level. But we do have, but it is important that we keep the goal in mind when we're chanting. That is important. Prabhupada gave us all of these books just to keep the goal in mind. Even to understand that we're spiritual beings, he would say that one time, you know, in his many times of presenting that you're not the body. One time in this one lecture he said, so if you hear this enough times, maybe you'll realize that you're not the body. Not exactly those words, but that was what he said. That you have to hear this, you know. So it's not exactly realization. But by hearing and by chanting in this mood that I'm a servant, this isn't, I'm not trying to get something out of this. I can't demand that Krishna appear. I'm just his servant. I'm insignificant. But Krishna, please help me. And by hearing this and then chanting in that mood, then we get realization about what we're reading. And just as he was saying here, that the kirtan and japa go together, Srila Prabhupada explained many, many times that we also cannot get realization of what Prabhupada has taught us without chanting. But we also won't get realization of what Prabhupada has taught us if we don't chant with that understanding. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. We have to chant, you know, with this understanding. Okay, it's not realized, it's intellectual. But by chanting with that mood and giving up our long cherished desires to be the Lord of the material world, gradually then the, you know, realization comes. Is that okay? Was there another part to that? Anyway, that's good. Premananda, here we have.
I have two questions and one small something which I heard from one of Satyananda Maharaj's class. He said, this whole service mood is the key to entering into this depth of chanting. And he said something very nice, that we should enter the palace of the holy name through the back door, the servant's entrance, and those who do so with an attitude of humble service while calling out the holy name's mercy will meet with unimaginable success.
Kijai, Privo.
You were mentioning something on the same lines. I just felt so connected. I have two questions. The first is about Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out in Harinama Chintamani like a magic formula how to cultivate chanting.
Yeah.
And
is this from the Kirtan era?
It was actually Satyananda Maharaj quoted
from a lecture.
I don't have the Harinama Chintamani with the Sanskrit words in it. I have only the translation. I don't know exactly the words. But he pointed out like three things. One was chanting in the company of saintly devotees. Mm. And the second one was a peaceful and secluded place chant. And the third one was the determined attitude.
Was the
determined attitude, determination, the goal, you know, there has to be the goal. So the first two, chanting in the company of devotees is what, you know, a lot of discussions in Maharaja's class, and you just mentioned also. And then this finding the secluded place to chant. So is there like a, we are supposed to be doing both, or is it like...
Well, secluded doesn't mean not with devotees. Doesn't mean not with devotees. If secluded means that you're not bombarded so much by the material energy that you can actually focus on your chanting. So practically speaking, that means being with devotees. Of course, sometimes it's good also to chant just by yourself. That's also good, but it's not that a secluded place means no devotees. It's kind of the same idea as, you know, Mona means only speaking about Krishna. It's similar idea.
So my other question was actually, I came across this
question. Is there a secluded place in New York City?
I was wondering, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur's last days, couple of years, he went into seclusion, by himself, I mean, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an exalted devotee, and I didn't think that's what he meant, that we all should be practicing that,
Well, we should be ready for that. I think that'll, maybe we don't have to worry about that stage just yet. when you're ready for that, it will become apparent. Yeah, I mean, so what's your that we should go into seclusion and. Well, I don't know that whole. I'm not actually familiar with that the whole context of that, so I'd be a little reluctant to say. But in general, being removed from the material atmosphere means being in the association of devotees, because for most of us, being alone is being with our worst enemy. It's not being with Sometimes people say. It's just me and Krishna. Well, that'd be nice. But there's your mind, which has been drugged through the muck of material life for countless births and has all kinds of nice things to remind you of. Remember this. Remember when you did that. Remember this. So it's unfortunately we're alone with our mind most of the time. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that if one tries to become Krishna conscious but remains aloof from the association of devotees, they're living in an hallucination. Right? It's in the fourth canto, I think he says that. We require devotees because we're still struggling in our own relationship with Krishna. We're still, at least I can speak personally. We're not that fixed yet in our devotion to Krishna. Therefore, there's sometimes we feel Krishna's presence, sometimes we don't, and when we don't, we're very prone to take shelter of some kind of subtle or gross sense gratification. So we really do need each other's association to live in a secluded place. That's my point. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Or Srila Prabhupada, or personality like that, like I used to say that Prabhupada went to live with the hippies and they became devotees. But if we go live with the hippies, we'll probably become hippies. whose association is more powerful? Right? So we just have to have a little reality check on, what is the level of my realization.
Thank you. Just one other thing.
Only one?
Yes. this was Daksha's prayers, the Hamsa Bhukhya prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And I came across this and I was just wondering how this thing works. when one's consciousness is completely purified of the contamination of material existence, both gross and subtle, without being agitated as in the working and dreaming states, and when the mind is not dissolved as in sushupti, deep sleep, one comes to the platform of trance, and then one's material vision and memories of the mind which manifests names and forms are vanquished. Only in such a trance the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed. Thus let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seen in that uncontaminated transcendental state. So there is this gross conditioning and subtle conditioning, and sometimes, I hear a lot about difficulty in controlling the mind. And then sometimes you hear that, okay, you know, after repeated chanting, mind kind of, supposedly, not really, but kind of, it can calm down. Yeah. It's like, it really is not a real calming down. But then above and beyond that, you know that in the dreams, strange things happen, which you didn't even think about. And so there is layers and layers of this deep impressions from the gross material life as well as the conditioning from previous lives. And the degree of that is kind of scary, just to think about it. So that makes, Krishna's mercy seems to be the only way to get rid of,
correct.
So,
so what? I'm afraid to ask. So what's your question? Well, let me just say, do you understand what that verse that you spoke of? It's actually seems fairly clear. We have a subtle mind and we have a gross body, and the soul is beyond those things. The soul, just like an example that Prabhupada gives, is just like say I'm wearing glasses. The glasses don't see, but I see. Similarly, the eyes do not see, but I am seeing through my eyes. I'm hearing through my ears. So with a little introspection, we can perceive that, we are consciousness. We are the pure soul. And we have senses. And with those pure senses, we can see God. That's what that verse says. Beyond, when there's no more covering. Right now, our consciousness, our thoughts, everything is interacting through the gross and subtle bodies. And we don't think that, we have any life beyond that. People say, I have a soul. but we're actually pure consciousness. So that's the age-old question. Is it really possible to get free from this conditioning? It just seems insurmountable. And it is insurmountable in Krishna's own words. Daivihesha gunamayi mamaya dhraya. It's completely insurmountable. But through the... Actually, Prabhupada explains it really nicely in this one place. Even as devotees, unless we come to experience spiritual pleasure through spiritual senses, he actually uses this word, then what will we experience? We'll only experience, the so-called pleasure of the mind and the interactions of the modes of material nature. That's all we can experience. So we have to discover our soul and our spiritual senses. And he says, what is that process? What is that discovery process? So he says, devotional service. Devotional service, chanting, is actually the process that we can come in contact with our own soul. It's little by little, it becomes apparent. And as it becomes apparent, what becomes apparent is the cause of my conditioning, that I'm averse to Krishna. That actually becomes apparent to us. And as we see that, then we take strides to surrender to Krishna, to actually accept Krishna. And that's the only process, is that. So it's a process of little by little understanding who we are through service. Again, back to this idea, if we don't realize that the goal is service or the goal is love, and we're so-called serving to get material rewards, that will never give us that realization. That will only give us frustration, because we won't be satisfied. If we're doing devotional service and we're not satisfied, then we have to look deeply at our motivation and come to grips with that. It doesn't just solve itself automatically, but we have to seriously come to grips with, you know, the root cause of my conditioning. Then, you know, then little by little, we discover ourselves and we surrender. We take little steps, surrendering to Krishna. And then that realization can come. And it's, yeah, it seems impossible. As one devotee used to say, it's a long way back to Godhead. It may seem, I mean, devotees go through that. Either we're just not very serious and it's like, well, everything's fine, Hare Krishna, it's prasadam and halava, and, you know. Either we're not that serious, or if we're actually serious, we may actually get, like, what did you say, it's scary? the nature of the conditioning. So that's a good thing, you know, we should see that. We should see that. And then really look deeply at, you know, how can I seriously apply this process in a way to get at the root cause of my conditioning? Because that's what Prabhupada gave us. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give us. It's not a stopgap measure. It's not something superficial. It goes directly to the pinpoint of why I'm here in the material world in the first place. Devotional service is so powerful and so directed. It's not superficial at all. Hare Krishna. Wow. So, I wish I would have stopped for questions before, because I could have heard from all of you. But I don't want to keep everybody here. So, thank you. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I guess I'll stop here. Should we? It's time for lunch, right? Okay. Anyway. All right, Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.